beginning and the end of those verses, of that chapter. I'd like to read the verses we'll be focusing on, verses 10, 11, and 12 at the beginning. A wife of noble character who can find she is worth more than rubies. Her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. And then skipping over to verse 28. Her children arise and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceitful, and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her the reward she has earned, and let her works praise her at the city gate. What mothers need? This tells us, you want to know what your mother needs? This is what mothers need. Your mother, all mothers, need this. Why is it that mothers should feel and know they're appreciated but are not? Why is it that mothers should feel and know they are appreciated but are not? Today, being mothers first is looked down upon. Many avoid becoming mothers. We have this horrible spectacle of abortion, don't we? Avoiding becoming mothers. And it's to the degree that many applaud abortion. They're not becoming mothers. They're cheering for that. That's what they want. The way Joel spoke of people cheering for the Broad Street race, they're cheering that mothers not, that women not become mothers. And being good mothers first, also, it's just not encouraged. Politicians don't encourage it. Our educational system does not encourage it. They don't mention this. Magazines don't talk about mothers and motherhood. They talk about other issues regarding women, but they don't talk about marriage and motherhood. What's discussed? Career interests, finances, their financial welfare. And the final thing I want to mention here is that disrespect by children is tolerated. You agree with that? It is tolerated. A high school student once told me this. He said his friends talked about how they disrespect what they said to their parents. And his response to them was, if I talked to mother like that, she'd have me down on the floor stomping on me. And he had a good mother. That mother didn't put up with it. But all of his friends, it was tolerated. It was a badge of honor, disrespecting their mother. So being mothers first is looked down upon. And being mothers first is also just overlooked. People don't notice it. They're more concerned about other things. Women being equal with men in the workforce, that's discussed to no end. They're being happy rather than responsible, that's focused on. Having nice things, dressing well. I haven't heard recently at all, it's something I grew up hearing, the saying, the foot that rocks the baby's crib rules the world. Mothers are very influential and it's a very important job. But God cheers us on. And in the passage we read, he singles her out for praise. A wife of noble character who can find. Now, the writer sounds to me like he's searched the world. He's looked around. And he's a noble, good mother. Who can find her? If you find her, she's worth far more than rubies. Now, rubies aren't just pretty pieces of glass. They're a valuable gem. If I remember correctly, I read more about rubies in the Bible. I don't know that the word diamond even occurs in the Bible. It was highly valued. My mother had a round pin about that size. At the center was a ruby. Around it were some very small diamonds, some other small rubies. And that's the one piece of jewelry that she had that got passed on. There was some value to it. But he said, but when I think of my mother and how much I appreciate her, I don't think about that pin. Except when I read, it says here in the Bible, she's worth more than rubies. Oh, okay, my mother. And then all these things that make her worth more than rubies. But she's very, very valuable. It might be stretching it a bit, but it still emphasizes the point. She's worth her weight in rubies. Who can find? She's worth more than rubies. And then we move on to this long list of verses that describe all that she does. And is it fair enough to say that she has her hands full? Mothers have their hands full. And I think that this is an accurate observation, not of one woman, but of all the things that mothers are called upon to do. It's not an exaggeration. It's much more than a woman who now is the CEO of some big corporation is called upon to do. Because she's concerned with the eternal welfare of her children. She's an influence that reaches far beyond the success of that company. I was watching television. It was the news. And how many of you know who Kevin Durant is? Okay, one of the very best basketball players, professional basketball today. And he was talking about his mother. He was honoring her. He was saying that his mother had two children by the age of 20, and she was single. And she just appreciated all that she had done for him and all the work that she had put into him, how she'd sacrificed for him. I was reading a book that my wife had about mothers, and there were just some wonderful stories there about mothers. One of the ones I remember best at the moment is the mother who her husband left her, and she had four kids. And so for the next, I believe it was said 13 years or 14 years, she worked two jobs. I can't imagine that. That's 16 hours a day that she worked. She was getting a very little bit of sleep. But the kids, her children, all, they just thought the world of her. They realized the sacrifice that she had made. And typifies the person that he's mentioning here. She's worth far more than rubies. Her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. That example to those children, do you think they grew up with good values? Do you think they were ready for life? How much is she worth? You know, I read in the newspaper about all this money that some of these CEOs and bankers and that sort of stuff are making these days. And I don't think that you can put a price on the value of a money. You can put a price on them, but I don't think you can put a price on how valuable a mother is. Bluntly, we can't afford to pay. If we had to pay her a salary, we'd be in trouble. We couldn't pay her. And then we skip over to the end there, verses 28 through 31. And the idea there is that those that matter most to her appreciate her. We talked about how the world we live in just doesn't appreciate the woman who focuses on being a mother first. But those who matter most to her do appreciate her. Her husband, arise and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. This is what he says to her. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. Now there's a man who's taking a look at himself and saying, man, oh man, where would I be without her? Look at me, and where would I be without my wife? And he praises her. And this is the way that God has designed caring for her. God's design is His is the final responsibility for her. Some at work shook their heads about Mr. Hahn that I was working with. He was a man about 70 years old at the time. Others told me he'd been a very good baseball player. They said they thought he was good enough to have made it to the major leagues. But he had a wife and children that he loved more than he loved baseball. So he wouldn't show up for games from time to time because he was going on a picnic with them. And then he told me a story about a safety meeting where he'd been present. And in some context, he'd said, I wouldn't give you $1 million for my wife. And one of the other men named Jake said, you wouldn't give $1 million for your wife? And then the punchline of that was that Jake's wife died shortly thereafter. Now, which man was living in the blessing zone? Which man had it good? Which man appreciated his wife the way the Lord talks about? Now, how can we enter this blessing zone? You know, we're just not naturally there as men. And children, we're just not naturally there. We're just not there just full of praise and appreciating our mothers and our wives. And we need to acknowledge Jesus as our Lord and our Savior. So we blow it. But He is the God of second chances. Third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh. He's the God who doesn't get tired of our coming to Him. He invites us to come, doesn't He? Come unto me, all you that are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. So you've blown it, but come to me. Take your yoke upon me and learn of me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And you'll find rest, you'll find me out here. Take your yoke upon me and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Jesus sympathized with us, and He helps us. He will give us rest. James encourages us to submit. This means submit to Him. How do we enter the blessing zone? We submit to Him. James 4, 7 through 10, submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come, he tempts us. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners. Let God's word wash the dirt on you, your sin on you, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Grieve, mourn, and wail. Change your laughter to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and He will lift you up. If with all your heart you truly seek Him, you will surely find Him. Submit to the Lord. That's how you enter the blessing zone, where you're able to bless your wife and are a blessing to her. So if you sin against your wife, and you know there's a lot of sin going out there, husbands against wives these days. The one that gets mentioned most frequently as being just the one that's bad is when you verbally abuse your wife and physically abuse your wife. If your sin against her has been great, confess it and fully surrender. Now, it's not just giving up one thing and holding on to another. It's as God in His Word keeps showing you that there's something still there that you need to repent of, that you ask Him to forgive you of that too. You fully surrender to Him. You come to Him, you acknowledge Him as Lord, and then you continue a life of surrendering to Him. Now, you can be a kind and gentle person that never abused your wife at all, but you can still frustrate your wife. And you need to learn to bear her burdens and fulfill the law of love, to understand what she's struggling with, to understand her perspective. Look at all she does. Is she going to have problems with all this stuff? Is she going to have questions? Is it going to be hard on her? Does she need you to sympathize with her? Does she need to hear you praise her and bless her? Man, she needs to hear that, especially if she's doing it, and you need to notice what she does. God warns us against being fools and to heed Him. He warns us to heed Him. Proverbs 15, verse 20, a foolish man despises his mother. Why is this? Why does a man despise his mother? The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. An example of that is a man that I known a long time. I knew him as a boy. And along the way, we had this conversation. He'd done something wrong, so I talked to him about it, and I said that the Lord won't bless you if you continue in this. And his response to me, I've never forgotten, he says, well, so far, it seems to be working. It works out well. He's not doing what's right. Now, a foolish person despises what God says of how he's supposed to respond to his mother. And it's to his advantage to not honor her. Proverbs 19:26. He who drives out his mother is a son who brings shame and disgrace. When a mom needs help, we need to be there for her. We're not to refuse to help her, but we're even so to sacrifice what we want to do for the help that she needs. Proverbs 20, verse 20, if a man curses his father and mother, his lamp will be snuffed out in pitch blackness. Well, you won't live a long time. Proverbs 23, verse 22, do not despise your mother when she is old. Do not despise your mother when she is old. It reminds me of the story of the parents of a young boy or taking care of the father of one of them, I don't remember which, but he was physically not able to eat. He made a mess when he ate. He spilled stuff, and so the parents made a wooden trough so he could put his food in there so he wouldn't spill things all over the table, and. Then one day, they found their son trying to fashion, working on a piece of wood, and they asked him, what are you doing? He says, oh, I'm making a wooden trough for you when you get old. Now that was a wake-up call, wasn't it? We're not to despise our parents when they get old, their mother when she gets old. 28 verse 24, he who robs his father and mother and says it's not wrong, he's a partner to him who destroys. You're a partner with the devil who seeks to destroy people. You steal from your mom, man, you're going to steal from anybody. Proverbs 30, verse 17, the eye that mocks a father that scorns obedience to a mother will be pecked out by the ravens of the valley and will be eaten by the vultures. People aren't going to notice your death. They're not going to care because you haven't listened to your parents' instruction. What is the fifth commandment? Honor your father and your mother, that your days will be long in the land which the Lord your God gives you. You enter the blessing zone then when you honor your parents. God warns us against being fools and to heed him. So heed the Lord when he reminds you of your responsibilities. Ephesians 5, 23 and 25 to 26. The husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body of which he is the Savior. So husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word. God has made you the head of your wife, the husband head of his wife, as Christ is the head of the church. Now that's a great honor. Christ is the head of the church. It's a great honor that he's bestowed upon you. He's also bestowed tremendous responsibility. You're to love your wife as Christ loved the church. Now, did Christ take the initiative in loving us? He didn't wait till we loved him first before he did anything to us, but he took the initiative. While we were still in our sins, he died for us. He changed us. He came to us, or we would still be where we were. Ephesians 5, verse 28 to 30 reminds us, he who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated his own body, but he feeds and cares for it, just as Christ does the church, for we are members of his body. So if you don't love your wife, it's like shooting yourself in the foot. Doesn't make any sense. When you neglect your wife, you harm yourself. And as Christ continues to love us, what happens? We become more beautiful, more like Christ. And the more you delight in your wife, the happier she's going to become, the more lovely she's going to become. And when you honor, when you do your wife good, it really has tremendous repercussions. You honor God, and you have God's promise of blessing. You're a blessing to your family, and to all that your family touches. You're a blessing to the church. That's the family of God, and the family of God transforms the world. It's motherhood comes first, doesn't it? So let's listen to what God has to say and let our light shine. This means, again, trust in Christ Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And this means saying to your Father in heaven, not what I want to do, but what you want me to do, that's what I'm going to do. Be satisfied with what he says to you. Honor him. After all, you're joined to him, aren't you? You're to honor him. Honor him in the way, when you honor him, in the way you relate to your wives and children, you say something about Christ. If you don't love your wife, you're testifying to the fact that Jesus doesn't love. If your speech is harsh, you're saying that Jesus' speech is harsh and unkind. If you don't provide for your wife, you're saying that Jesus doesn't provide, doesn't care for you. If you're unfaithful, You're testifying that Christ can't be trusted. If you don't honor your wife, you're saying Christ lacks honor. If you don't shepherd your wife, you're saying the Lord is not the good shepherd. If you don't speak the truth to her and forgive her, you're testifying that Christ is not full of grace and truth. Love her as Christ has loved you. And he left everything, didn't he? There's a wonderful spiritual sung by Roland Hayes, who was the mentor of Marian Anderson. It's a conversation that takes place in heaven, and where Jesus says to the Heavenly Father, prepare me one body, I'll go down. Prepare me one body, I'll go down. Prepare me one body, I'll go down. I'll go down and die. He left everything, didn't he, to come down and die for us. And so Paul says to us, I urge you therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as living sacrifices. That you live the way Jesus lived. You love others the way Jesus loved. Don't be conformed anymore to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Heed the Lord, she is noble. We said God warns against being fools, we're to heed him. He's reminded us of our responsibilities. Heed the Lord, let your light shine. And heed the Lord because the woman that fears the Lord is noble. Appreciate her sacrifices and loyalty. The story of Ruth is the story of a woman living in Moab, never been, and they were enemies of the gospel. They were enemies of the faith of the Israelites. Her husband dies, her mother-in-law's husband dies, there are two brothers, and Mahlon and Chilion, and both of them die, and so there's Ruth and Orpah. Naomi decides to go back home because her husband has died too. And Ruth wants to go with her, and Naomi tries to dissuade her from going. And this is what Ruth says to her, where you go, I will go. Where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord deal with me, be it ever so severely, if anything but death separates you and me. Now, is that loyalty? That's loyalty. I hear it sometimes quoted at weddings. It just expresses the commitment that a husband and wife, a man and a woman, are making to each other. Now, she gets back and she goes to work in the field of a man, a farmer named Boaz. And he notices her. And then he says this to her. When she went in, because he's seen her kindness to Naomi. You have not run after the younger men, whether rich or poor. All my fellow townsmen know that you are a woman of noble character. Loyal to the Lord, loyal to her mother-in-law. And that's to her mother-in-law she was loyal to her. We need to be committed to our mothers. And do them good, and God will bless us. She became the mother of Obed, and Obed became the mother of Jesse, and Jesse became the mother of King David. There. King David had good roots, didn't he? Rooted here in a mother that feared the Lord, a noble woman whose husband married her because she was noble. Now, the thing we need to guard against is finding excuses against blessing, for not blessing and praising the Ruth in our lives. They can start with phrases like, my mother has her issues. If I had a great wife, I would be good to her, but she's not, and I can't pretend that she is. What does the Lord say to us? He says, you should be satisfied with her. God gave her to you. And so when you sing the song, I am satisfied, satisfied with Jesus. I am satisfied, satisfied with Him. All my needs have been supplied. Praise the Lord, I'm satisfied. Oh, I'm satisfied with Him. Think of your mother. Think of your wife. You're to be satisfied with her. Okay, now maybe your wife isn't so great, but personally, I don't know of many good husbands who have rotten wives. If you think your wife isn't worth much, take a look at yourself. Usually the problem is with you and not with her. Usually the man that's full of grace and truth and knows Christ as Lord and Savior has a flourishing wife and family. But so before you say your wife isn't so great, ask yourself, are you the husband you should be? Are you loving her the way Christ has loved you? Am I building myself up in my faith? Am I praying in the Holy Spirit? Am I keeping myself in God's love as I wait for the mercy of Jesus Christ to bring me to eternal life? Trust God's promise when the temptation comes. Psalm 20:28, verses 1 to 4 says, blessed are all who fear the Lord, who walk in His ways. You will eat the fruit of your labor. Blessings and prosperity will be yours. Your wife will be like a fruitful vine within your house. Your sons will be like olive shoots around your table. This is the man blessed who fears the Lord. Fear the Lord. Walk in His ways, and you will be blessed. Period. Heed the Lord. God is on the side of the noble woman. Now, when you don't love the way you should, remember, you're butting your head against God. He says this in verse 30, charm is deceitful and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her the reward she has earned, and let her works bring her praise at the city gate. Now she's taken refuge in the Lord, so He's taking care of her. The Lord's our rock, in Him we hide, a shelter in a time of storm. It's a storm out there for people who focus on being mothers. She's taken refuge in Him. And charm is deceitful and beauty is vain. That's the focus on the world out there. That stuff doesn't count. That doesn't matter. But the woman who fears the Lord should be praised. He promises, now what about single mothers? Now He promises to bless the single mother who fears the Lord. The hands of single moms are especially full. And the Lord says to her, don't try to be a father to your children. He says, I'll be their father. And He is a father who won't ever leave or forsake your children. If you believe your wife just isn't worthy of praise, let me ask you, did Christ love you because you were without flaws? No, of course not. What did He say? Where sin increases, He increases grace all the more. Where there's sin in our mothers, He'll give us more grace. He'll give them grace. He'll solve the problem. So He wants us then to persevere in loving our mothers. Philippians 2, 12 to 15 says, "For it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose. Do everything without complaining or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a crooked and depraved generation in which you shine like stars in the universe." Work it out. Keep working. God is working in you, both to want to do what is right and to do for his good pleasure. And you do this, you persevere, and you will shine like a star in the universe. The world may be dark out there, but you will shine. You will be a blessing to the world. You're not to leave your mother if she's not a Christian. I mean, you're not to leave your wife if she's not a Christian. You're to stay married to her. God hates divorce. And the Holy Spirit is with you is greater than what's inside of her. And he does promise to bless you, doesn't he? All things work, whatever your situation, all things work together for good to those who love the Lord, to those who are called according to his purpose. That's true for mothers, that's true for husbands, that's true for children. God is on the side of the noble woman when he tells older woman to teach the younger woman. He's really looking out for younger women, mothers, have their hands full. When he says that older women are to take their time and teach the younger woman, doesn't tell pastors to do it. He tells older women to do that. So God's words, what does it do? It challenges us to value and praise our mothers more and more. God's word encourages mothers to view themselves more and more as highly valued and highly appreciated by God. It's what God thinks that is most important. And God says a woman who fears the Lord is both noble and she's worth more than rubies and is to be praised and blessed. Now, Scripture tells us we can't be friends of the world, but we can be friends of God. And Paul said, if God is for us, who can be against us? Now, he wasn't married, but he wrote some of the best stuff in the Bible on marriage. And if God is for you, who can be against you? Mothers, what mothers need? They need the Lord, don't they? And they need us to stand with them and to love them the way that Christ has loved us. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for these words that speak so much to the challenges of encouraging mothers and blessing them. And we ask now that we will do better in loving our mothers. And we pray that as mothers that we might have a brighter vision for our worth in God's sight. In our Savior's name we pray. Amen. Okay, could we stand as we sing Not What My Hands Have Done? That's number 461 on your hymnal.